I had occasion to read this week from the book of Ecclesiastes. And we find these words: to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. According to one commentator that I read, he interpreted these verses as meaning that everything in nature and in human life is under a set scheme or plan. There is a season, an appointed period and a time for all that takes place under the sun. Meaning that seemingly chance events are all really part of God's great plan. Now that doesn't mean that our decisions are meaningless or that our choices don't amount to anything, but simply that God has not left his creation to function based upon mere chance. And even then, the mistakes and the mishaps of man are foreseen by God and are taken into account in his plans. And God will carry out his plans and his purposes in spite of man's lack of wisdom, in spite of his foolish choices, and ultimately nothing takes the Lord by surprise. So suffice it to say, God's word teaches us that there is a season and a time for everything. The Apostle Paul told the church in Rome that it was time, he said, in fact, it's high time, for them to awake out of sleep, for our now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So there's a time for everything under the sun. And taking our text from Isaiah 55 this evening, I'm going to suggest to you that there's also a time when we should seek the Lord and call upon him while he is near. There is a time to seek the Lord. And you'll notice the instruction that's given to the readers of this book. We are to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. God's presence is to be sought and found, the prophet Isaiah says. There is a time in particular when God is especially near to us and is to be found. And you'll also find that there's a time when God will be distant from you and will not be found at all. Now, there is, in a very real sense, God's presence is ever with us. Sometimes when we speak theologically, we give certain attributes to God as they're revealed in the scripture. We sometimes talk about his omnipotence, that he is all powerful, and that there's nothing beyond his power. We speak of his omniscience, his knowledge and all-knowing of all things. But we also speak about his omnipresence. Literally, that God is present everywhere and at every time. The words of the psalmist come to mind in Psalm 139. And he says, whither or where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. In one sense, we never truly escape the presence of God. There's nowhere we can go to escape his presence. But in another sense, we are also instructed to seek the Lord while he is to be found. So while his presence may be there, our knowledge of it, our experience of his presence might actually be absent. So we are to seek the Lord while he is to be found. And I want to address this in a series of questions. Firstly, why are we to seek the Lord? Well, Isaiah in this passage is pleading with the nations, calling upon them to seek the Lord. And this plea is just and right because, well, society and mankind as a whole is at a distance from God because of our sins. It's our sins that have separated between us and the Lord. We are at a distance from him. We look back in Isaiah to chapter 53, in verse 6, you'll find he says that all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are at a distance from God. We have wandered away from him. Go forward a couple of pages to chapter 59 and the verse 1, and there we read that your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So there's a very clear implication in the scriptures that man is not in a close relationship with God. And the reason for that, well, we take you back to the book of Genesis, to the Garden of Eden, where man has been created in the image of God, dwelling in paradise. And there Adam is the first man and the representative of all men. He actually enjoyed fellowship with God. We're told of how God came in the cool of the day to meet with Adam and with Eve and to fellowship with them. But when Adam disobeyed God, when he took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, when he disobeyed God, he fell into sin. And one of the effects of that sin is that he was no longer in a place of fellowship with God. The image of God was marred within mankind. And all of the offspring of Adam were not born in the image of God, but born in the image of their father, Adam, a fallen creature now. And we shared in his nature, corrupt and sinful and fallen. And every generation that followed on from Adam has been born in a place of separation from God. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 5, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, our problem doesn't stem from the environment in which we've been born or the society in which we've been brought up. The problem is our hearts. Our hearts are far from God. We're strangers to God and to his grace. We live apart from God in rebellion. It's been said, I'm told, of baby turtles that as soon as they hatch and are born that they instinctively head for the sea. It's a little bit like man. As soon as we're born, we've got our back turned towards God and we're running as far from him and as fast as we can. We need to recognize that fact that in God's sight that we are guilty, we are sinful. We're sinful by birth, by nature, by practice, by choice. That's why we must seek the Lord. Because from the very moment that we were born, we were running from him as fast as we could. There needs to be a reversing of our direction, and we need to be turned around from running from God so that we might actually begin to seek God. And so when the Lord reveals these solemn truths to us, we should be like the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts, crying out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We are to seek the Lord because we are born estranged from him. We are running far as we can from his presence. And unless the Lord turns us around, we will never actually seek him at all. Yet the instruction comes, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." So we are to seek the Lord. Well, let me ask then, secondly, when are we to seek the Lord? While he may be found, the answer is given. While he may be found. Let me give you some suggestions as to what that means, when he may be found. First of all, I would suggest that it means that he must be found in this present life. You see, there's a limit of opportunity here. This seeking of the Lord is not extended for all time. We're given a very limited window of opportunity in which we are to seek the Lord, and that limit is the life that you now live. As long as your present life lasts, you should be seeking the Lord. And the reason for that is because once this life is over, it's too late. It's too late. Let me draw your attention to words spoken by the Lord Jesus in the book of Mark, chapter 16. He said, "He that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not," what comes next? Did he say, "shall have another chance in a future state? Shall have another opportunity in the life to come?" No, he said, "He that believeth not shall be damned, lost forever." The Lord Jesus offers no hope to those who go through this life continually rejecting him into death and out into eternity. Without him, there is no second chance. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ during this small window of opportunity, what hope can there be for you if you enter eternity rejecting him? In fact, the Lord Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 16 of a rich man who died and in hell lift up his eyes being in torment, and we are told that there was a great gulf between him and those who were in paradise, a great gulf over which no man could cross over. If you do not come and seek the Lord in this life, then you will not come at all. There is no purgatory for you to go to and atone for your sins and be made ready for heaven. That's not a teaching that's found in the Word of God at all. It's a false hope. There is no second chance for you after death. We must seek the Lord now while he is to be found. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "Well, preacher, if my lifetime is the period in which I must seek the Lord, perhaps I'll wait closer until death and then seek him." But I would point out to what Isaiah actually says. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." So even though this lifetime of ours is the only opportunity that we have to seek the Lord, there are times in which the Lord is near, and there are times when he seems much further away. It's a little bit like walking along the seashore. There are times when the tide is out, and times when the tide is in. We are to seek the Lord while he is near, while the tide of his grace is coming in. Because it may be that if you wait much longer that the tide will start to go back out again and the Lord be at a distance from you. So we are to call upon the Lord while he may be found and seek him, call upon him while he is near. Literally, while he is especially near. There are times in our human experience when the Lord is especially near. Those are the times that we are to seek him. Those are the times we are to search out his kingdom and seek to enter in. So when are those times when the Lord himself draws especially near that he might be found? The first one is actually in our youth. In our youth. It's estimated that approximately 64% of Christians came to faith in Jesus Christ before the age of 18. Almost two-thirds of people who are Christians today called upon the Lord before they were 18 years of age. Between the ages of 18 and 21, another 13%. That brings us up to 77%. After that, after the age of 21, each year sees a diminishing return of those who come to faith. Call upon him while he is near. He's near in our youth. It's also found that those who became Christians in their youth were more likely than those who were converted in later life to remain committed to their faith. So why are the times of youth so important? Well, the mind is still open to an extent. The conscience is still tender. The soul is still responsive. Surely the fact that the majority of people who are converted to Christ are converted during their times of youth points to that fact. The book of Proverbs reminds us in chapter 8 where the Lord says, I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. It's a reference there to early in life. And I think there's a reason for that. And if you ever taught Sunday school, and the boys and girls, you'll understand what I'm about to say. When you teach them their Bible lessons and you teach them their memory verses and the things of Scripture, I've never had a little child come and question how God could create the world in 6 days. Never heard them asking why or how. Or how Noah could build an ark for the saving of his life and for the gathering in of his family and the animals, and how God could destroy the world with a flood. You see, you tell them and you teach them those things and they believe it. Little children believe. That's why the Savior said that unless we have faith as a little child, we'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Little children believe. Whereas adults are filled with doubts and questions and reasons not to believe. There's no doubt then the reason why in Ecclesiastes 12 that the earnest is given, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because the longer that you live, the harder your heart will become and the further from God you'll find yourself. There's no time for seeking the Lord like those days when our hearts are yet young and tender, before they are snared by wickedness and sinful habits, before the grip of sin becomes too great upon our lives. Seek the Lord while still in your youth, when the Lord is especially near. Seek the Lord also while your heart is still tender. Lord, and cause us to have tender hearts at various times, maybe through death of a loved one, maybe through some accident, something that draws our attention away from ourselves and our selfish pursuits and causes us to think on just how short and brief that life really is, and the limited opportunities that we have right to get right with God. You see, Satan wants to hinder the heart. He wants to corrupt it through sin. And he wants to tell us that you've got plenty of time to come to faith in Jesus Christ. He'll not tell you that God's not real, or that salvation's not necessary, or that there's not a heaven or a hell. He'll tell you, oh, those things are true, but you have plenty of time. Don't need to become a Christian today. Wait until you're older. Because he knows the older that you get and the more ingrained sin becomes, the more difficult it is to turn away from those things and turn to the Lord. Having our understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. You see, what happens every time that the gospel is rejected, it's like another layer goes on the heart and it becomes a little bit harder, more difficult to penetrate the next time. It's like the hard-working man, he finds that the calluses on his fingers and his palms, he no longer feels the pain that he did previously. He's become hardened to it. You can do that with the gospel, you know. Whereas there was a time when God spoke and was especially near and you heard his voice, but now you've turned from him so many times that you barely hear the word at all. And you think that you're sinning without consequence when really sin is hardening your heart towards the things of God. And he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Become hardened. Call upon God in your youth while the heart is still tender. Call upon God as he comes near and reaches out to you. Don't reject those calls. Come in the time of providence. Let me draw your attention to a story in Luke chapter 18. We know the story of the blind Bartimaeus, a professional beggar that said in the city of Jericho, because he was blind and unable to work, he lived on the charity and the compassion of those who passed by. One day he heard the noise of a crowd that was passing by, and he learned from a bystander that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Well, he had heard of Jesus, and he recognized that this was the opportunity of a lifetime. He had heard the stories of this great miracle worker from Nazareth, how he had healed the sick, how he had delivered the leper, he had cast out devils. He even healed the lame and gives sight to the blind. And now he's passing by where I am. And he recognized that God in his providence was affording him a wonderful opportunity. And he grasped it with both hands. And he leaped up from where he was sitting. And he began to cry out for all to hear, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And everyone around him is saying, Bartimaeus, sit down and be quiet. But he didn't. He cried out the more until the Lord Jesus heard his voice and came over to him. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And as the Lord drew near, he said to Bartimaeus, what will that I do unto thee? He says, give me my sight. Give me my sight. Help me see. You know, what that story doesn't tell us is that the Lord Jesus never came that way again. This was his final time ever walking through that city. You see, he was on the way to Calvary, to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, he would be arrested and tried and put to death and hung upon a cross. Bartimaeus would never have an opportunity quite like this ever again. God in his providence allowed the Lord Jesus to draw near, and Bartimaeus sought him while he could be found. Has the Lord been drawing near? Is Jesus passing by? And you're still in your misery and your sin, and there passing by is the only one who can truly help. Could it be the last opportunity? The last time he passes by your way? If you don't seek him now, perhaps you will never seek him again. If you don't call upon him while he is near, perhaps he will be too far to hear the next time. There are special times when God draws near. In times of youth. In times of providence. Maybe you've witnessed God at work in the life of your friends. And you see how he's been transforming some around you, how they've called upon the Lord and God has saved them, and now they're living a life of faith, and you see God at work in their lives. God is drawing near, perhaps as he's drawing near to your friends and family, that's the time to call upon him. We also know that God draws near in the time of preaching. There's nothing special about the preacher, let me assure you. There's nothing that I can say that can penetrate your heart or change your mind or convert you to Christ. It's not as if I, in my strength, can physically lift you and carry you to the cross and dump you there at the foot of the cross and say, now you believe. It doesn't work that way. We must be brought to faith by the power of God's Holy Spirit, but God works through the preaching of the gospel. Paul describes it. He says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the world that doesn't believe, it's foolishness to go and listen to someone preach. But to have God's word brought before you, for God by his Spirit to apply that word to your heart, it's the power of God unto salvation. Maybe you can remember days in your past when you attended church services and the gospel was preached and God drew especially close to you and the Spirit was tugging at your soul, catching your attention, drawing you to God, challenging you about your sin, directing your thoughts toward his Son. The Lord was drawing near, and maybe at that time you said, not today, not today. I did that once, many years ago. I look back upon it with terror, sitting in a gospel meeting, God challenging me, speaking to my soul, calling me to salvation and saying, not today. And I remember leaving that meeting. I've told this story many times. Leaving that meeting, walking out into the dark night and saying to myself, congratulating myself, that I've managed to survive another meeting without becoming a Christian. How foolish. If God had taken me at my word when I said no and said, well, if that's your decision then. How foolish. I tremble at the thought of what I did that day. But I'm glad that God in mercy came again. But I had no right to expect it. No right at all. Neither do you. If God is drawing near to you through the preaching of his word, and his Spirit is working with conviction upon your heart, drawing you to Christ, and reproving you of your sin and of judgment, then come as he calls. Come as he calls. When he lays his hand upon you and reveals to you your sinfulness and your need, and he awakens you to the brevity of life and the reality of death and the nearness of eternity and the awfulness of hell without God, these are favorable times to get saved when God's presence is especially near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Has God been stirring your heart? Has he spoken to you through the circumstances of life, through the testimony of a friend, through the preaching of the word? Seek the Lord then. If the tide of his gospel is coming in, don't run from it, because someday that tide may yet go out again. I often think of Esau, who sold his birthright for a pot of stew. In later years, he realized what he had done. He had lost out on the favor and blessing of God. And we're told that in later life that he sought the Lord with bitterness of tears, but he found him not. The day of gospel opportunity was gone. And if God is knocking at the heart door tonight, call upon him. Seek him. Trust him. Let me give to you one last favorable time in which the Lord is to be sought and found. Right now. Right now. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Behold, Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. According to the Apostle Paul, there's only one period of time in which we can be sure of turning to the Lord from our sins, trusting in Christ for salvation. The only guaranteed time to us is right now. Right now. God promises nothing more or less. Also, many people think to themselves, I've plenty of time to get ready, plenty of time to get saved. The truth is, you're not promised sometime or someday, but you are promised now. Now is the accepted time. There may come a time when God's patience runs out with you. I think of those terrible words in Genesis 6 and verse 3, when God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There'll come a time when God will stop calling. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, you just can't whistle for God and he'll come running. You come when he calls, or you will not come at all. Listen to what he says in the book of Proverbs. Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye set it at naught all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. The Lord is not always to be found. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I had another question for you. Not only when to seek the Lord, but how to seek the Lord. How are we to seek the Lord? Seek him actively. This is a command that's given to us, an order to be followed. We're not simply to sit by and wait for some unexperienced impulse to come our way, some lightning bolt from heaven. The work of God's Spirit, he describes as the wind that blows without restraint, but he also demands that we use all that lies within our power to seek him. Seek the Lord. Seek out his gift. Call upon him. Don't be sitting waiting for something sensational to happen. The Lord Jesus told his people to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Left to ourselves, not one of us would seek after God. Romans 3 makes that clear. There are none that understand. There are none that seeketh after God. Left to ourselves, none of us will do that. If there's even an inkling of desire at all within your heart to seek God, know that it is the work of God through his Spirit at work in you. Call upon him while he is near. Seek him actively. Seek him wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8, and I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Even right from the temple. People who had spent their time in the temple, and he says, I saw them buried. He means buried without hope. Why? Because they weren't earnest in seeking the Lord. And there are many today who come and go from church services just the same way as they came, cold and indifferent. But if thou from hence shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek for him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. What does it mean? It means that half-hearted efforts will not be rewarded. You must make the pursuit of God your utmost priority, the number one thing to be accomplished, everything else to be set aside until this one thing has been done. The seeking and finding of God. Seek him actively, seek him wholeheartedly, seek him penitently. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Don't think that you can have God and your sins. You must repent of your sins and turn from them and seek the Lord. John Bunyan, in his book Grace Abounding, tells the story of how one day he was walking through the fields near to his home when a voice from heaven spoke into his soul and said, "Bunyan, will you have your sins and go to hell, or will you leave your sins and come to heaven?" It's the choice. We must seek the Lord penitently, leaving our sins behind. And we must seek him believing. We must come with faith in the work of Christ, faith in the Word of God, faith, however weak it may be, as long as it's faith in Christ, because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's how we seek the Lord. Actively, persistently, penitently, prayerfully, call upon him while he is near. Just what are you seeking in life? To become richer? Become famous? Climb the social ladder? You're looking for the next big opportunity, the next better job to come along, to extend your business? What's your priority? Our priority should be to seek the Lord first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I can offer you no better hope than that, than as you seek the Lord while he's found, that he will be found and that he will abundantly pardon. May the Lord grant us such mercies this day, so that he is found of all who seek him. Let us pray. Our loving and our gracious God, we come once again in the Saviour's precious name, recognizing that without thee we can do nothing. We cannot even seek the Lord for the salvation of our soul unless thou thyself should draw near and call us to thyself. May we hear the voice of thy Spirit this day, calling, drawing, bringing us in faith to Jesus Christ. There might we find the very hope of God given to us, hope in which we find our sins forgiven, hope in which we are given peace with God that lasts for all eternity, and the promise of heaven and home above. That is our prayer, our Father, that even now, as the voice of man grows silent, that thy Holy Spirit will yet be at work in the hearts of those that are gathered here, those that are listening, might they hear the voice of God calling unto them, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Bless thy word to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.